Time to talk K-State sports. It is K-State in Focus here on a Wednesday on the Sports Ticket. Joined now by Kellis Robinette. He's the beat writer covering K-State for the Wichita Eagle and a Kansas City Star. Happy New Year, Kellis. Thanks for the time. How has 2021 been treating you so far?
Oh, I mean, it's a little bit better than 2020, but we're still not all the way back to good old 2019 yet, so still pushing forward.
Yeah, who would have thunk when after 2019 finished that we would be craving 2019 here in 2021, but that is indeed the case, man. Let's talk K-State and the situation that they're in. Obviously, the men's team had been shorthanded. Did have 10 scholarship players last night against Oklahoma. The K-State women just now getting restarted after a pause and missing some games due to COVID-19. So let's start with that angle first and then talk about what took place on the floor last night. How frustrating has this been both for the women's and men's basketball programs the last couple of weeks? And I know other programs are dealing with it, but you know specifically how it's bothered K-State.
Yeah, I mean, it's been frustrating. If anything has softened the blow a little bit, like you just said, it seems like everybody's dealing with it. TCU men's basketball doesn't have any games this week. Iowa State doesn't have any games this week. Texas got a week off because their opponents couldn't play them. So it was, you know, it's just been, I guess, a sign of the times. It was just weird on Saturday when you're supposed to have five Big 12 games and only two of them could get played. It's probably more frustrating for the men's basketball team and fans of that squad because they're kind of in a middle ground where they don't have enough healthy players to go out there and really have a great chance of beating other teams in the Big 12, but they've got enough guys healthy that they can't just pause and not play either. So it's just led to some ugly results for them.
I don't want to make excuses to Bruce Weber. I know that he's had a reboot a couple of times, and I do know that his biggest critics are ones that were never fans of him and never gave him a chance as soon as he was hired. A lot of them still in the Frank Martin camp, and that ship sailed a long time ago. I don't know if this is fair or not fair, but I'd like to get your input on it. Is it worse for Kansas State and obviously other younger teams in regards to this season? And what I mean by that is I've talked to high school coaches here, and we have a team locally that's very young, and it has stunted their development because of games being postponed and not getting, you know, they had quarantine, so forth and so on. At the same time, he said, this coach told me, had we had the team we had last year with all the experience, it wouldn't have bothered me as much not having maybe as many practices or having a game and then not a game because we were experienced, we were seasoned, and we would have been able to handle this. You know, you look at the teams that have experience. Baylor has experience, and obviously they're super talented. Kansas has some experience. K-State, of course, is extremely young. Is there anything to that? Like I said, I don't want to cut a huge excuse for Bruce Weber because I know there are people out there listening that maybe aren't a fan of Bruce Weber and get frustrated with things. But for all the years for this to happen, for the K-State men's basketball team being so young and not having a lot of practices together, aren't they really at a disadvantage going up against teams that have more experience in the Big 12?
Well, I'll say this. They picked the worst possible year to build things up from the ground level like they are.
Yeah.
When Bruce Weber basically decided to go this path, it was never his decision to bring in nine new guys. He was thinking maybe five or six would be the path that they were going to take, and then they had some extra guys surprisingly transfer on them. So that, was a little bit uncontrollable. But when they decided to bring in a bunch of new guys like they did with Barry Brown, Kamau Stokes, and Dean Wade a few years ago, They had it really lined up where they were going to bring in these guys. They had a foreign trip lined up to Europe. They were going to go over there and spend a month together as a team, have all this time, extra time to practice. They were going to play exhibition games in other countries. And basically their plan was, yeah, okay, we're going to be really young, but we're going to have this head start and everything. We're going to come in, and that'll jumpstart us, basically. And we'll have an advantage over some other teams that are maybe doing the same thing. And it'll help us catch up to other teams that are older. Well, not only did they get all of that wiped out, they couldn't do any of that, but they didn't get really any practice time with these guys preseason. And they haven't had much practice time with a healthy squad all year. I believe Bruce Weber said yesterday during his pregame radio show they've had something like only six or seven practices where they've even had 10 scholarship players going against each other in practice. And like you said, it's not exactly an excuse. Everybody's dealing with COVID, and it's not like it's an unfair advantage for a team to have experience. If Bruce Weber could have held on to some more veteran talent over the years, they wouldn't be exactly in the spot. So I see it both ways, but the task he's facing now, rebuilding under these circumstances, is much more difficult than it was 4 or 5 years ago when those other guys were freshmen.
Yeah, I agree with you. Kelis Robinette, K-State beat writer, Wichita Eagle, and KC Star guest today. Our focus on KC Athletics brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Having said that, let's stay on that path. Obviously, with the financial situations of schools, and of course some schools, it doesn't seem to matter. The big alums and boosters will buy out contracts. We saw that at Texas with Tom Herman. We saw that with Gus Malzahn at Auburn. We have seen some coaching changes, of course. Is there any chance that Bruce Weber, I think I know the answer to this, but I want to hear it from you, and our listeners want to hear it from you as well. Is there any chance that Bruce Weber wouldn't be back next year?
I mean, it depends on how the rest of the season goes. It's probably too early to speculate just because there are still 2 months left.
Mm-hmm.
And just so much can change then. I mean, when Kansas State lost to Fort Hayes, everybody, you know, was kind of throwing their hands up in the air and wondering, okay, is Bruce in the hot seat here? Well, what's going on? But then they win 4 of their next 5 games and things cool off. Everyone says, okay, you know, maybe things are looking better. It's just really hard to judge right now because, like we talked about earlier, the last 3 games they've only had really 4 fully healthy players. And, you know, the results reflect that. I think what's going to happen is that pretty much that the hope is, at least from Bruce Weber's standpoint, is that he gets a fully healthy team back in February and then they start showing their true potential. If that happens and they win a few games and they look like they've got, you know, a good foundation to build on, then I think he'll be back. Like you mentioned, though some schools have parted ways with coaches this year, you know, Kansas State's in a little bit different situation. If they were to fire Bruce Weber right now, it'd cost them $2 million. And I can say nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to pay somebody not to coach right now. But at the same time, if they continue losing like they have lately, they've lost 5 in a row by an average of 15 points, and their last 3 really weren't competitive. They were down 28 in the second half against Texas before Texas called out the dogs and they came back. They lose by 26 at Oklahoma. If they do that, if they lose every game the rest of the way by 25 points, then I think you got to look at it and say, well, maybe we do need to make a change. But if they can turn things around and show a little bit of life, then I think he'll probably be back.
All right, so what you've seen on the floor so far, what encourages you? I know there wasn't probably a lot last night, but what are some of the bright spots and for a reason to you to be optimistic as K-State men's basketball fan in regards to some of the play you're seeing and some of the young guys?
Well, I mean, I do like some of the young talent they have. I like Nigel Pack a lot. The problem is he's the guy they've been missing lately, and that's, I think, a big reason why the results have been rough for him. But I also like Davion Bradford. I think he's probably the best, like, true post back to the basket player that Bruce Weber's recruited during his time at Kansas State. And DeJuan Gordon, I think, has shown a lot of grit. And if he can stick around and develop a jump shot, I think he could be pretty good as well.
All right. When you look at the team defensively, you know, last night they're up 22-17, and then all of a sudden a 27-4 run. Of course, turnovers didn't help. But where did it all go wrong for K-State last night? Because it looked promising, 22-17 on the road at OU.
It really did. Those first 14 minutes were probably the best basketball they played since, probably all year, honestly, since 2020 ended and 2021 began. But that's kind of been their calling card lately. They had an early lead on Texas Tech. They had an early lead on Oklahoma State. They were tied early with Texas, and they had a lead late in the first half against Oklahoma. But it just doesn't seem to matter. And I think part of that is depth. Like I've mentioned, they've only really had 4 full go guys, and you know, unless you've got 4 NBA players or something like that, that's not enough to carry you through a whole game. So I think when they get into the second half and the other teams start making runs at them and they run into any kind of issues with fouls or whatever, you can see the talent kind of drop off a little bit, at least right now, because a lot of those guys who are coming in off the bench are limited, like Casey Isiago and Luke Kasuke, who are only just returning from injuries. But really, it's just, there's just not a real great calming presence out there without Nigel Pack. Mike McGurl played a really rough game yesterday, only scored 3 points. There's nobody you can just give the ball to, and they're going to say, all right, calm down, I'll go get a bucket here and stop this run. And, you know, that's just one thing that happens with young teams. They kind of panic a little bit when things don't go their way. And unfortunately, this team just has a hard time stopping the bleeding right now.
Yeah, it's tough, no doubt, to go through those growing pains, and especially in this type of season. When you look at K-State's schedule down the line, I mean, are we really looking at really – I mean, obviously K-State beat Iowa State. Iowa State's in a pause right now. Is there any other game on the schedule where you can sit here and say, you know, K-State's got a pretty decent chance of pulling one out other than beating Iowa State at home later this year?
Well, and the rough thing about that is they don't know if they're going to be able to get that game rescheduled.
Right.
Because there have been so many other games, you know, postponements. So that's definitely one they're hoping gets rescheduled. I think both teams would very much like to play that game because, I mean, if you're Bruce Weber or Steve Prohm, you got to be looking at that and saying, wow, that's one game we could win. So hopefully, for both their sakes, they get that winner rescheduled. Otherwise, you know, I think at home against West Virginia this Saturday, if Nigel can come back and play, Bruce Weber said that's a long shot, but if he can play, I'd give K-State a little chance there just because West Virginia's been on pause and you don't really know what to expect from them after a long layoff. Texas A&M in two Saturdays, they haven't been very good. I think that'll actually be a toss-up game. That's probably their other best chance at winning. And then I could just say Oklahoma, you know, it didn't look great last night, but Lon Kruger has never beaten Bruce Weber and Bramlage. Maybe that can continue. And then maybe, you know, TCU on the road would be another one where maybe they could win. But it's, if you're looking at, you know, a bunch of wins down the stretch, probably not going to happen. But, again, you never know. You never know with college basketball. One night a team can get hot and they can win unexpectedly. So that's probably what they're hoping for.
All right, Kellis. Kellis Robinette, our K-State beat writer for the Wichita Eagle and KC Star. Our focus on K-State brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. The off-the-wall question for you, Kellis. Of course, you got Willie the Wildcat. There's a mascot. What I want to know, the off-the-wall question, is outside of Willie the Wildcat, or maybe there is one that you like better, what mascot in the Big 12 do you think is the coolest mascot?
Ooh, so are we talking about like the logo or the person who actually like roams the sidelines?
Let's go. That's a good question. Let's go logo first, 1A question, and then 1B would be what patrols the sideline.
Okay, and we're talking about just who's the coolest one.
Yeah. We're just talking Big 12. Okay. The logo, and then the mascot.
Okay. I mean the actual mascot. I've got to say, probably. The West Virginia Mountaineer, because it's a legit person with a musket.
Yes.
I mean, he can. This person, like, it's the one mascot in the world that's actually allowed to talk and stuff. So, and fire guns. So yes. I think that guy probably takes the cake. I don't know. You know, I like Willie the Wildcat, but it's always kind of struck me as weird that he's half cat, half human. You know, every other mascot at least commits fully to human or beast. So that's kind of been my one fallback with Willie. In terms of just the logo, I'd probably go, I don't know, I've always liked Texas's simple logo. Uh-huh. I like that. It's too bad Colorado isn't in the conference anymore, though. Yeah. I really like Ralphie the Buffalo. Watching that thing run around on game days was awesome.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think that might win both of those questions I asked you. And just for what it's worth, that would have been my pick as well, was the West Virginia guy firing the musket. I think that's hilarious, to be quite honest with you. Pretty cool. Kellis, how can people follow your work and stay on top of what's happening with K-State Athletics?
Yeah, check me out pretty much every day at Kansas.com, KansasCity.com, and the Wichita Eagle or the Kansas City Star.
Kellis, thanks for the time. Take care of yourself. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, Wade. Have a good one.
You too. That's Kellis Robinette, K-State beat writer for the Wichita Eagle and the Kansas City Star, joins today on K-State in Focus, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and by Heineken Electric in Beloit.